Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, all of you beautiful people. How's Edenvale? Theme for the year, good news people, good news people. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? I hope and pray, we're praying, each one of us, that this grabs a hold of us this year. Good news people. We are people of good news. Everybody needs good news, don't we? Everybody needs Bafana Bafana to progress from the semifinals. By the way, they're in the semifinals. Did you know that? Everybody tracking with AFCON? It'll be quite a legit thing if Cyril has to give us another public holiday, won't it? It'll be amazing. So that'll be good news, isn't it? Every single one of us, we need good news. Did you know good news? It's clinically proven to do all sorts of things. It lowers the heart rate. It boosts health. It boosts productivity. It boosts our mood. It strengthens relationships. It improves resilience, helps us adapt easier, makes people more generous, gets your heart apparently healthier. You can eat oxtail and have good news and have an amazing heart. Did you know that? Quite amazing. And it can lengthen your lifespan. I'll say it again. Every single one of us as human beings, we want and need what?
Good news.
So does the world, which is why God calls us to become good news people. We are people of the good news. Are you with me? Talking about good news, I just wanted to show you a little bit of a progress as to where we are with regards to our Edenvale campus first up. Just want to show you a couple of pictures of where we're headed with regards to what we're trusting God to help us get off the ground this year as we expand the foyer, expand the cafe, build onto a second level of ministry space. So have a look at it. There's a couple of pickies that'll be up for us, and that's what we're trusting God to be able to get done this year. We need to break ground this year. Please, Jesus, we need to break ground this year. Can you imagine? The foyer goes out 12 meters into the parking lot. Pretty much the whole of the front parking lot area gets taken up with beautiful, beautiful space. Ministry space on the second level. Cafe gets dramatically increased. Kids zone check-in areas. Oh man, it's just going to be an amazing space. Why? Because we're good news people, and good news people want to make room for more people so that more people can become good news people. Are you with me this morning? And in order to make that happen, vision offering is such a vital part of helping that happen. I want to encourage you, the pledges for vision offering for Edenvale ended at 1,256,000 rand. Isn't that incredible? Come on, give yourselves a hand. If you've sown into that already, thank you. If you're planning to sow into that, thank you. If you haven't planned to sow into it, please, and then thank you. Are you with me? And those are pledges. You know, I said to Boxburg at our leaders meeting on Wednesday evening, our Boxburg pledges are sitting at around the 2.3 million mark. And everybody, all the leaders went bozies and everybody went crazy. I said, listen, people, those are the pledges. It's not the cash. We need the cash in. So at the risk of sounding like Jerry Maguire, I said, show me the money. We need... How many of you know that banks aren't interested in our pledges? Banks are interested in how much cash have you got before they give us the financing. So thank you to each and every one of you who've pledged and sown already. And may God strengthen and enable you, and may He resource you, and may He bless you to be able to fulfill your pledges. And please continue to do that, and let's get it done by the end of March. That'll be amazing, amazing. Are you ready for the word this morning? Can I ask you to stand to your feet? Would you stand with me and... let's ask God to bless what it is that we're going to be doing. Father, in these moments, have your will and have your way. Pray for our hearts, each one of us. May we receive what you have for our church this year. Jesus, you spoke about four types of soil. Three out of the four were soil that nothing happened. We want to be one out of four people. Produce the harvest through what happens today. Help us to receive your word well, receive what you have for our church well. Most importantly, let it bear fruit in our lives. Let it go deep into our lives and let it resonate in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Before you have a seat, Edenvale's building project is, we Trust God going to get off the ground this year. We're so absolutely trusting for that. And this year in our Boksburg campus, just so we remember, we're one church in two locations. We don't think of ourselves as two different churches. So what I'm about to talk about now affects the whole of Thrive, yeah. But it's just that it's a particular celebration related to a date that Thrive Boksburg was planted. Thrive Boksburg was planted this year, will have been planted 30 years ago. Pastor Steve and Kathy planted that church 30 years ago. And so every 5 years or so at Thrive, sometimes more often, sometimes less often, but we thought 30 years is an amazing opportunity to stop, to pause, to give God thanks. And so we're going to have a 30-year celebration conference in September this year. The details will be on the screen right now. It's going to be an amazing time. Pastor Chris Matabula is going to be with us for the time, as well as Pastor Jonathan Fontanarosa, all the way from Australia. So diarize the dates. Get them in now. Those of you who are administratively minded, take photos. Those of you who are attention deficit disorder, take photos. Get it in the diaries right now so that nobody comes in September and says, you know what, I have a hair appointment. No. All good. It's exciting. Have a seat, everybody. Good news. I want to always start with good news. Pastor Trevor Hudson tells this funny story about when he went into the Methodist ministry, he encountered a very strict guy who was kind of like his candidacy overseer. And the guy said to him, Mr. Hudson, and the fact that he started with Mr. Hudson scared Trevor no end. He said, Mr. Hudson, what is the central message of Jesus? And Trevor hummed and hawed for a few moments and then said very hesitatingly and very kind of cautiously and not sure if he's right. He said something about God forgave our sins and Jesus forgives our sins. And the guy said, no. And he said, what is the central message of Jesus? And Trevor, now even more intimidated, thought to himself, I better mention something about love. So he said, love is the central message. And he said, no. And he said, Mr. Hudson. And then he softened and he said, Trevor, the central message of Jesus is that through him, the kingdom of God is available to each and every one of us, to anyone and everyone. That's the ultimate good news. Why is it such good news? Well, it's the good news because the announcement that God's kingdom came to earth, has come to earth, not past tense with Jesus, but present tense. The fact that the kingdom comes to earth now through the Spirit of God within each one of us. Why is it good news? Because we're infinitely loved and accepted by the God who created us. That is good news, people.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, this good news people thing is, we're good news people, but it's also good news, comma, people. Are you with me? The announcement of the kingdom is that Jesus came to rescue us, and he came to open the door to friendship with God. That's good news, people. Jesus' life here on earth was the ultimate example of how to live. And Jesus, through his life, if you and I will take the time to be in his life, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the gospel, you and I will see a blueprint for life that is unparalleled. He shows us how human beings, you and me, were designed to live. That's good news, people. His life showed us how God designed us to live. And his death was even good news for us because as he died, he absorbed the punishment for every sin by every human being in history, and in his resurrection defeated that sin and death once and for all. I'll say it again, that's good news. It's good news, people. And this good news changes everything for us. So here's the thing. Who are we? We're good news people. We've received that news. Are you with me? We've accepted that good news. It's landed in our hearts somewhere. And now we are learning to live out that good news. Maybe I can say it this way in short. We have become and are becoming and are learning to continue to become good news people. People that hold the good news, people that share the good news. I want to offer us very briefly this morning, three thoughts on what it means to be a good news people. What do good news people do? How do you know if you're a good news person? How do you know if you're just sitting in the congregation or if you're a good news person? Three hallmarks of good news people that we see. Number one is good news people, they live for the kingdom and a new king. They live their lives for a new king, and they live in a new kingdom. They have changed allegiance. Are you with me? Yeah, anybody remember the movie Schindler's List? It came out years and years ago. It was about a man called Oskar Schindler. Oskar Schindler was actually a member of the Nazi party. But somewhere along the line, we definitely know it was by 1939, he switched allegiance. He could no longer fathom and tolerate the Nazi party ideology and principles. And so although he started in the party, somewhere along the line, he realized these guys have got themselves screwed up in a big way. And in his heart, he changed allegiance, but he never changed the allegiance on his badge because he realized and recognized that there was a way that he could make a significant difference to saving people's lives. And so what he did is he took advantage of the German policy at that time, which was to confiscate factories from Jewish people. And he took hold of a number of factories in Poland and in Germany, and he began to work those factories for his products and his services. But what he did is he employed Jewish people. And over the period of time that he was involved, he employed over 1,000 Jewish people in his factories as so-called pseudo-laborers. Half of them didn't do anything, but he told the Nazi party that they were essential workers for his factory. In so doing, stopping them from going to the concentration camps and saved 1,000 lives. You see, while one ideology was there to kill and destroy, another was there to save lives. What had happened to Oskar Schindler? He had switched allegiance. This is what good news people do. We live for a new king, and we are in a new kingdom. You might be seated in Edenvale on this Sunday morning, but you belong to a different kingdom. Can I get some amens? We have also switched allegiance. That's why Colossians 1:13 says, for he has rescued us from what? Is it not on the screen? Oh, okay. He has rescued us from? Kingdom of? From one kingdom. Notice how it's kingdom terms. He's moved us from one kingdom into the kingdom of his dear son. We have switched allegiance. You and I, we've just become Oskar Schindler. We may dress in normal clothes. Some might say none of us have normal clothes. Look at the person next to you. I mean, if you call that normal, then you need help. But we are different on the inside, aren't we? We fly his flag. We're on his side and he's on ours. We are no longer our own king. Satan has no claim over us either. We are people of a new kingdom and we have a new king. The king is no longer the devil. The king is no longer ourselves. We live in a new kingdom and we have a new king. Can you say amen? Amen. Those of you who are maybe new to faith, maybe you've just recently made a decision, the best way, the most amazing way that you can tell people that you've switched allegiance. You don't have to be like Oscar. You don't have to keep it a secret. Get baptized. Every single month here at Thrive, we have baptism services. Next one that comes up, put your name down and get baptized. What it does is you come out of the waters is it declares to everybody, it declares to the atmospheres around us, I have switched allegiance. I have a new king. If you want to live effectively in this world, in a new kingdom with a new king, you need to be part of a life group. You can't hope to do your faith alone. You can't hope to do life in this kingdom alone. You never ever hear of a kingdom with one person in the kingdom. You've got a clan, man. You've got soldiers. You've got people around you. You've got people defending the walls. You've got people shooting arrows at the enemy. Are you with me? You need some people to shoot some arrows at your enemy if you're not in a life group. Come on. Get some people around you so you can live effectively and live strongly. If you're not in a serving team, come on, make a difference for the kingdom. Make a difference for the king. No kingdom allows slapchat, you know what I mean? Like just leichat, you know what I mean? Like just, you got to, the kingdom needs soldiers. The kingdom needs people who will do something. Kingdom needs something people that will move the kingdom forward. How do you tell if you're a kingdom person? You're a new king, under a new king and in a new kingdom. Those of you who are wondering, should I be part of this community? Like Pastor Can mentioned, Move Forward starts in the 10:30 service, runs for 3 Sundays, and then Tuesday nights online on Zoom as well. Enter this place. Why? Because this clan, this crowd of people. And if you want better looking people, come to the 10:30 service. I promise you, they'll be better there for you. But what are you doing? You're not signing up for a course. You're entering into the new kingdom and you're saying, I want to be strengthened. I want to live effectively. I want to live strong in a new kingdom. Secondly, good news people, what do? They're learning to live beautifully in a broken world. Each one of us, friends, we are learning to live beautifully in a broken world. Why? Because we're all cracked pots. Are you with me? We are all pots. I didn't say crack pots. I said cracked pots. And we're all learning to live beautifully in a broken world. As Jesus announced this new kingdom when he was on earth, he preached the greatest sermon ever preached. There's never been a sermon before it. There'll never be a sermon like it since. It was a collection of his teachings called the Sermon on the Mount. It is singularly the most important piece of text for any follower of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verses 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Dallas Willard said, I believe that the greatest gift of Jesus, outside of the gift himself, or of himself, is the Sermon on the Mount. In Jesus' teaching in the sermon about the kingdom, he opens the door and says, come inside and see what the kingdom is like. He teaches a new way to live. He teaches another kind of life. He teaches a better way to live. He tells us we're called to live differently, friends. If you're sitting in Edenvale 8:30, his invitation to you is from the Sermon on the Mount, live like this. What does he say? He says, we're called to live differently. You and I, you were called to make a difference, my friend. You were called to be salt and light. You were called to be seasoning, called to be flavoring. You were called to change atmospheres. You as an and me as an ordinary man and an ordinary woman, we can unsettle the places of darkness in our world simply through our presence. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's within us. We can cast out fear. We can cast out darkness, oppression, and pain simply through the words that we say, when we speak to people, when we speak over people, when we pray for people. That's what we're doing. We're being salt and light. He says, you and I, we can, in this new kind of life that he teaches us to live, you can let go of anger. You can. I love this phrase. I came up with it myself. You can leave lust in the dust. You can hold to the biblical value of marriage and sexuality within marriage. You can be people who are honest. We can stick to our word. We can tell the truth. We can choose not to take revenge. We can learn through the power of God to love our enemies, to wish good for them, to pray for them. We are people who do learn to give to the poor. We fast for greater intimacy with God. We are people who close our doors, Jesus says, and pray in the secret places, and our prayers are powerful. Why? Because we ask, we seek, we knock, and we never ever stop asking. We are people that pray for people any and every opportunity we get. We never go, I'll pray for you. No, I'll pray right now. I'll pray right now. I hate that. I'm going to pray for you. No, vamos, man. Let's pray now. Almost said footsack. It's not good. We are people who have money and things, but money and things don't have us. We do to others what we hope they'll do to us. We bear good fruit. We do God's will. We live our lives based on Jesus' teaching. That, friends, is good news, people. We are learning to live beautifully in a broken world. We're learning to live like Jesus. We're learning to be with him, become like him, do what he did. And we're always a work in progress, aren't we? I mean, I constantly want to say inappropriate things, and I'm sure you do too. Every time that taxi driver cuts you off, but maybe you don't say the same words as what you did a year ago. You are becoming more beautiful in a broken world. There's so many ways, all I'm doing in this message is just pointing you to the ways predominantly within Thrive that you can live beautifully. We've got Nutrigo packs, they're always for sale to feed people. I hate saying, oh, I've got no money. Well, give them a Nutrigo pack to the car guard, to somebody you know that's struggling. You can leave a legacy at the cafe, just add Turin, that goes to water wells up in the driest parts of Western Zambia where people, whole villages spring to life the moment they get a well. I can't tell you how a village is transformed. $2 to what, just add that to whatever you're buying. You can live beautifully, friends. Our church sows money on a monthly basis into Shine and into our missions efforts in Zimbabwe and in Mozambique. Our church lives beautifully in a broken world. We cross the borders with our money. We send people, we send money. We are equipping churches across the border in Southern Africa. That's living beautifully. There are folks in our community who hit hard times, and our church provides groceries for them. Through Hope Bags. You know, if you look at the info desk, just on the right-hand side, there's some black bags that say Hope Bags in orange on them. You can contribute every month towards buying somebody groceries. You can bring stuff or you can bring money. That's another way you can live beautifully. That's the good news. The bad news is it's always going to cost us. And if we want to be people who live beautifully, it's never going to come free. You go, all of those things involve giving. Exactly. Because Jesus gave his life for us. So I want to be the person who says, in response to you giving your life for me, Jesus, I want to give my life for you. That involves parting with money, parting with resource, parting with time, parting with convenience. Not only do we learn to live beautifully in a broken world, but God begins to work beautifully in good news people's lives as well. Thirdly, good news people share good news. I want to read two passages for us. One is from Luke chapter 9. The other is from Luke chapter 10. Luke 9. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples. He gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. And then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Listen to this. This freaks me out. Take nothing for your journey, instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money. Don't take headphones. Don't take an iPhone. Don't take a change of clothes. Don't take your sneakers. Wherever you go, just stay in the same house until you leave town. Literally nothing with them. Now that's Luke 9. Okay, so that's the disciples. Now he chooses 72 others. And the very next chapter in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 10, check this out. Watch this, different group, right? But check the modus operandi, friends. It's the same. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. And these were instructions to him. The harvest is great. The workers are few. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember, I'm sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. Don't take any money with you. Not a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Then down to verse 8 and 9. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever's set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Now, Jesus sends good news people out. He sends his followers out. Why? Because good news is worth sharing. Yes. Followers of Jesus, good news people, share the good news. Good news is made for sharing. Our faith may be personal, friends, but it's never private. There's no such thing as a private faith. Our faith was designed to be deeply personal, but extraordinarily public. Are you with me? Can I get some amens today? And notice Jesus sets the agenda. Notice how Jesus tells him, I want you to go out, and he sets the parameters. He goes, this is how you're going to go out. Jesus doesn't take a vote, a census. He doesn't say, would you guys like a pair of extra shoes? Would you like an extra cloak? How can we make the journey comfortable for you? He just goes, off you go. He sets the agenda. It's not a democracy. And all God needs for you and I to send us is availability. What will make you say yes to sharing the good news? I think there's two things at play here. Number one is If Jesus is really Lord of our lives, we go where he tells us to go. We do what he asks us to do. We say yes when he says go. And secondly, I think it'll help when you and I get a revelation of just how much our world needs Jesus. Hudson Taylor, a reference to his story a couple of weeks ago, reading this book has just undone me a little bit. He worked as a missionary from the 1850s onwards in China. He just left. Got funding from two parties. What he decided to do is, he says, I'm actually going to just tell both of them I'm sorted. So he told the one crowd, don't worry, I've got somebody else. And he told the other crowd, don't worry, I've got somebody else. So that he would have funding from nobody so that God could provide for him. But his driving force was China needs Jesus. What makes us say yes? When Jesus is Lord of our lives and when we realize Edenvale and Bedford View and Hurley Vale and Meadowbrook and even, God forbid, Primrose. Shout out to everybody from Primrose. We love you, Primrose. Best view in all of Joburg, I maintain, Primrose. Henry David Thoreau said most men, I don't think he meant just men, I think he meant men and women, lead lives of quiet desperation and go to their graves with the song still in them. Just because somebody's got a wall around their house and a motor vehicle and a job to go to doesn't mean they need Jesus. They don't need Jesus. Behind every middle-class home, behind every wealthy home, and behind every informal settlement dwelling is a soul that needs Jesus. The need is no greater or no less depending upon your class situation, your financial situation, your background or your history. Every single person needs Jesus. This last week, I was chatting to somebody and they were telling me about their family. Middle class people, like grown up, like not lacking in education, and they're telling me about how screwed up the family is. Like a 14-year-old getting pregnant, and then the grandfather of the pregnant girl rejecting her because she got pregnant at 14. Forgetting the fact that he ran off with his girlfriend, now his wife, and took her from her home when she was 15, ran away, took her from her parents, ran away with her when she was 15. Like, talk about the sins of the fathers. And the father of the child who got the 14-year-old pregnant, he's 15. And his dad died in COVID. And there's a single mom trying to, and I'm like, these people need Jesus. Are you with me? Like, just because you live in a house and have two cars, or it doesn't mean they need Jesus. How do we share the good news? You don't have to be Hudson Taylor going to China. You can just ask people about their lives. One word in a sentence will change everything. How are you? Really? Just add the really at the end. Listen carefully to their responses. If they're saying things aren't going well, or I'm not from around here, or I wasn't prepared for whatever has happened, give them hope. Hey, you want to join me in church? When it comes, well, thank you for sharing with me. I just want to tell you, I'm going to be praying for you, and may I pray for you right now? Are you with me? If the Holy Spirit opens a gap in the conversation, share your testimony, friends. Church, it's not complicated. Tell them what your life was like before you met Jesus. Tell them how you met Jesus. And tell them what your life is like now. Nobody can argue with that. You don't have to get into an apologetics debate with them. You can just tell them the difference God's made in your life. Share something encouraging on your social media. That can be a way you can go to China. Are you with me? Join a community, join a life group, a serving team, where you can benefit somebody else. That's how you can share good news. Our faith is personal, but it's never, ever private. Let me recap. The central message of Jesus is that through him, the kingdom of God is available to anyone and everyone. Worship team, you guys can come on up. That's good news, right? We have become and are becoming good news people. Good news people, what do we do? What do? We live for a new king and we have a new kingdom. Good news people, what do? We are learning to live beautifully in a broken world. Good news people, what do? We're learning to share good news. Everybody needs good news. At our church at Thrive, we're passionate. We are singularly focused. We exist to help people move towards Jesus. What does that mean? We want to help people become Christ-centered. We want to help people learn how to let Jesus be the center. You know, in our lives, would you agree that before we come to faith in God, our lives revolve around us? There's us, and then the world revolves around us. Would you agree? Every toddler, that's the way they work, and nothing changes until you meet Jesus. Did you know that? Now, some people say that as I get older and more mature, I become better. No, actually what happens is, unless Jesus intervenes in our stories, the toddler mentality in us and the toddler spirit in us just continues. We fully expect the world to revolve around us. But Jesus comes and he changes that. And as we learn to be with him and become like him and then do what he does, what happens? He changes us so that he takes the center place in our lives, and now we revolve around him. And we start to learn what it is to learn to be with him every day in devotional time, to become like him and to do what he did. That's how we become more like him. Dallas Willard, he said it so well. This is why our church, this is why our focus is what it is. He says, the only thing that transforms us spiritually is the action of following Christ. Let that sink in. That's huge. If you were hoping a Bible study would do it, it's not going to do it. If you were hoping giving to the poor is going to do it, it's not going to do it. If you were hoping it was your life group leader and you'd pinned all your hopes for spiritual transformation on your life group leader, they're going to let you down at some stage. And so is everybody else in the life group going to irritate you. It's not going to happen. If you'd hope that tithing is going to spiritually transform your life, it's not going to happen. If you're hoping that going on a missions trip is going to transform your life, it's not going to transform your life. Unless, and here's the bigger unless. Can I sit for this one? I love this little stage. It's got, unless. Jesus is calling you into something and you follow him into that. So if he says to you, I want you to head up to Zimbabwe on the next missions trip, and the Spirit of God begins to prompt you, that action of following Jesus into that space is going to bring spiritual transformation. If Jesus is asking you to go deeper into his word and to carve out time for prayer and solitude and silence every single day of your life, and if that's what he's calling you to do and that's the prompting that the Spirit of God is putting on your life, then you follow Jesus into that space. That's what's going to happen. You're going to change and you're going to become more like Jesus. The point that I'm making is, when the Holy Spirit prompts us, when the Spirit of God leads us, when Jesus calls and we say yes, that's when the transformation happens. It doesn't happen in acts of service that we think of what we're supposed to be doing. No, it happens when we follow him into the deep waters, and he calls us to follow him. He calls us to start speaking to car guards, to start giving them dignity, to treating waiters and waitresses that serve us with honor and with respect. He calls us to start giving away portions of our income. He calls us to start serving. He calls us to start leading. He calls us to start being part of a community. As he calls and you follow, I follow, that, my friends, is what makes us more like Jesus. Are you with me? So what we're going to do in just a moment is we're going to take a first step this year to growing and learning to become good news people. And the team are going to lead us. And as they lead us, the rest of the ushering team are going to come around, and they're just going to put a little card in your hand with a pen, or they're going to offer that to you. I want to encourage each one of us, take a card, take a pen, and then Pastor Cannon's going to lead us on the other side of that and let us know what to do with it. Once you've got your pen, once you've got your card, stand up and let's have a vibe together.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.